Today's podcast is a companion piece to the last one. One that you can listen to without going back an episode. But you know what? It'll make much more sense if you do. Last time, you see, I talked about a single object haiku. And one of the protagonists in the podcast I put together suggested that all hoku are single object hoku. He, Kaiorai, was writing in the late 1600s, early 1700s. The haiku, as we know it today, didn't exist then. They were often hoku or other verses within the renga. Kaiorai was one of Basho's primary disciples, one of his 10 philosophers, I think they were known as. So I thought, why not have a look at some of the hoku that some of the other Basho disciples wrote and see if their work illustrates the single object. I think I found some terrific poetry to read to you. I hope you're going to agree. I'm Patricia, and this is the Poetry Podcast, the home of English language spoken haiku, senryu, haibun, and split sequences. Speaking of which, you are almost the first to know that Poetry P has published in print form the very first split sequences journal. It's available on Amazon and as a PDF. Have a look at the show notes for this, the 15th episode of Poetry P's 7th series. Of course, if you're on the mailing list, you already know about this. Now, what better reason to sign up if you haven't done so already than to be the first to know? Shall we get on with the poetry? Basho had many disciples in his time, from all around Japan. He was, as we know, a great traveller in his time. When he began his writing, he was a member of the Taimon and Danrin schools of poetry, eventually developing his own school. So let's have a little look at some of his disciples' work. Let's have a look at Hattori Ransetsu's poetry. Apparently, our old friend R.H. Blythe thought him to be the disciple who most closely represented the work of Basho. A barren woman coddling festival dolls. How poignant. A barren woman coddling festival dolls. How poignant. That one was translated by Adam L. Kern. Paulownia leaves scatter, crinkle, one by one, on the breeze. Paulownia leaves scatter, crinkle, one by one, on the breeze. Also translated by Adam L. Kern. Kagami Shiko was a mentor to another poet we'll know very well, I think. Kaga no Chiyo. He became very, very popular after Basho's death. And that probably set him up for a lot of jealousy and malice by the other disciples. It's a tough old world haiku, isn't it? Here's his poem. Donning a sedge hat, primping before a mirror, tea leaf picker. Donning a sedge hat, primping before a mirror, tea leaf picker. What do you think? Toriyavaza? I think so. Mukai Kaiorai is the poet who, of course, said that all hoku are single object haiku, or hoku, I should say. So I thought it would be a good idea to have a couple of his works in the mix today. He also wrote poetry with his sister, you know. If you want to look it up, it's called A Journey to Issa, and it was published around 1686. Within my grasp, sadly vanishing, a firefly. Within my grasp, sadly vanishing, a firefly. Translated by Adam L. Kern. And I reckon this is a case of the reversal of expectations. That firefly, and they are very, very bright. Disappearing. We'd expect it to keep shining, wouldn't we? Or at least I would. But then I've only seen them once. The skylark and the hototogishu make a cross with their singing. The skylark and the hototogishu make a cross with their singing. If you don't know what the hototogishu is, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, it's a cuckoo to those of us in the West. And that poem was translated by R.H. Blythe. Is it a single object haiku? You could make the case that it's about two birds, but for me it's all about the sound. Blythe points out that the skylark flies straight up, whilst the cuckoo flies slanting and horizontal. He feels, perhaps as I do, that it's the singing that makes the cross. So I'm going with a single object haiku, or hoku, as it might well have been. Takahari Kikaku. This is a chap who, after Basho's death, developed a style of haikai which was damned as heretical, no less, and maybe could be seen as the spiritual forebear of the Senryu. My type of guy. The beggar. He has heaven and earth for his summer clothes. The beggar. He has heaven and earth for his summer clothes. I wonder, could that have been considered as heretical, a bit on the naughty side at his time? Sleeping butterfly. What do you do night after night? Sleeping butterfly. What do you do night after night? And this one was translated by Hiroaki Sato and Burton Watson. Last time, we didn't touch on the idea of putting a question in your haiku. But I think it works, doesn't it? And now a female poet, Kai Chigetsu. Chigetsu was apparently quite close to Basho. And we also know her as the nun, Chigetsu. Each morning a wren comes, bit by bit. Each morning a wren comes, bit by bit. This could well be a sketch from life, couldn't it? I'm guessing many of you have wild birds that are tempted by your bird tables to approach you or your dwelling. In autumn, a dove looks as if loneliness were only his. In autumn, a dove looks as if loneliness were only his. Also translated by Hiroaki Sato and Burton Watson. And this is another technique we didn't talk about last time, using the aesthetics wabi and sabi. This poem surely drips sabi, doesn't it? And last but not least, Yamamoto Kakai. Doffing a rain hat to soak deliberately in the northern showers. Doffing a rain hat to soak deliberately in the northern showers. Translated by Shirano. This one apparently is illusion, and possibly not one we'd understand today. I certainly didn't get it. It's a verse written in Arenga following one that Sogi had written. Sogi being associated with poetry, poetic places and travel. And Shirani suggests that this is an allusion to him and a nod to Fukui poets. And also that Kakai might be doffing his hat to Basho too. And I don't know about you, but some of the translations felt a bit clunky to me. But beggars can't be choosers. I can't translate them myself. But what we can do is get the idea of what the poet is trying to say. And if you like it, if you're interested, you could perhaps find different translations of the same poem and get a feel for which translator you really enjoy reading. We'll be doing a little bit more about that and about the schools of haiku later this year or next year. I hope these poems added a little to the single object haiku podcast from last time. Although I was able to find these examples of single object haiku from Basho's disciples, I actually found more that didn't focus on one single thing. So I'm concluding that Kaiorai was probably not correct in his statement that all hoku are or were single object. Nonetheless, I still think it's an interesting way to write our haiku today, and I look forward to reading your haiku in May 2024, or seeing examples in your poetry whenever you decide to submit. I enjoyed putting this together. I always enjoy reading lots of poems. If you enjoyed it too, perhaps you'll consider becoming a member to support the work of Poetry P. There are some benefits to you too. Details, of course, in the show notes. Now, next week, I am uber excited because I'm going to be bringing you something from the future. I should really have some spooky music here, shouldn't I? But didn't think of that. Anyway, do come along and find out what on earth I'm on about. And when you've listened, please send me some feedback. You'll know why when you've listened. But until then, keep writing. And don't forget, check out the show notes, have a look at the membership scheme, share and review the podcast. I'd be really grateful. And if you have any questions, just email me. Ciao.